morning. Good stuff. Good day. Oh, wow. I'm going to touch again on this subject of moving and making the journey from being self-centered or self-absorbed, and I don't mean that in an assaulting way. I just mean that we need delivered from this self-consciousness. We're plagued with this as Americans. We are so self-conscious. Moving from that, and we're afraid because we're like, I'm gonna lose myself, you know? Moving from that, but that is crisis mode. Being self-centered and self-absorbed, it is horrible. Do you understand we're plagued with depression more than third world countries as a culture? Like, huge. We got all the stuff and we're depressed. Moving to this place of God-centeredness. I am choosing to make this move in my life. I do it in my every conscious moment that I have from the moment I awaken, and that's exactly where it begins. I immediately awaken, if I don't watch over this and guard over this, with the evaluation starts. Where am I? How am I doing? How did I do? How did I do last night? Did I eat too much before I went to bed? Everything is like this, you know, this thing, and this stuff just starts. And the regrets, the remorse, the what, you know, it starts for me immediately. I've been choosing to stop that. And I just consciously, I begin to interact with the Holy Spirit because he is my comforter and he's always there. And I'm asking him and I'm talking and I'm worshiping. And I begin to worship and just acknowledge he's good. God is good. He is faithful. And I just make myself think about his goodness. And immediately changes. And I realize I've lived a life. We don't know any better. We're all just doing what we can do, right? I mean, your parents, they just did the best they could do. It's like, yeah, but there was, yeah, probably. They were messed up, you know. And they had you, and they were still messed up, you know. You didn't make them any better. you just were something, you know, something to raise, something to love, something to mess up, you know. And just like we're doing with our kids. You ever want to look at your kids and go, boy, I'm sorry. It's about being on the journey. And Jesus, let me just announce something to you. This is really good news. You do not have to be on the fast track. He finds you as long as you're on the track, as long as you're on the journey, he's there with you. Just keep choosing to be on the path. It's the choice of following. You can make that choice. You don't even have to say, I can do it, I'm great, I've got the strength to go up the mountain. You don't have to make any of those promises. I really take an issue with Christianity when it starts to make promises. It's good to make declarations. Declarations aren't about me. They're about him. And it's not a contradiction for you to make good declarations about him. That's the best thing you can do. And it's about this journey, and he's with you in it. You don't have to keep up with anybody. It's not about overcoming first. It's just about overcoming. In our culture, what do we promote? Winning is, go ahead, say it. if I'm a young boy and I'm doing sports, I'm playing ball, I'm something, or I'm in the choir. For me, I was always in the on the band, singing, performing, doing things. And I know how confident I felt if my parents were around and my mother was there or whatever. I remember experiencing, wow, I really feel confident when they're there. Not because they're close to me, just they're over there, but I know they're in the building, and I just felt confident, more confident when they were around. That's why we attend a lot of things for our children. Because a father is there for support, a mother is there for support. And when they have a victory and they do well, you applaud and you clap and you cheer them on. And when they do bad, you are a good father still goes, that's awesome. You did the best you could. You struck out with style. Amazing. Because for a good father, winning isn't everything. Playing well is. Giving it your best, doing it, and that's how, that is your Father in heaven. In case you have a bad snapshot of Father, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. And any of you that have grandchildren or children or whatever, that, yeah, I just ruined your morning. Oh, sorry. Those songs that get old fast, yeah. And, your Father in heaven, I dare you, I double dare you to believe. Song of Solomon 7:10, his desire is for you. I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. I have come into walking in the favor of the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm just there. I'm just letting you know. I'm just a son. I'm not special. I'm not great. Doggone. He likes me. I don't know why. His favor is on me. He's watching my back. He's watching my front. He's doing things before I even get a chance to ask for them. That's happening. We all have our things, our desires. We go, well, it's just stuff in the world. Yeah, it is, and it's going to pass away. But this is also where our testimony comes, so that when I can go to a person that has a need, I can go, well, you know what the Lord did for me? He gave me this. He healed that. He did that. So you're never receiving something just unto yourself. So give that. You don't have to go there. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to be with him in his victories and his sufferings. That's cool, but that's not the same of this as this. I'm more religious if I sacrifice more, if I do without things. I'd like to have two glasses of water, but I'm only going to drink one. Do you understand? I hate this thing about wasting water. I mean, you only waste water if there's only one pitcher left and you've got to share it between 10 people. Then, yeah, you don't want to throw it on the ground, but you understand the general concept of water is it goes up, it goes down, it recycles. I don't even know if you can actually destroy water. Can you destroy water? You can contaminate it some. Like, yeah, there's some things you can do, but you understand? If you flush the toilet once, you flush the toilet twice, it goes down, it comes back up. Filters. If it goes up, it comes back down. Water's amazing. I want to tell you something about Jesus. He wastes water. Do you know what a fountain is? And we had a prophetic word. There's a fountain in the middle of the church, and, you know, the anointing was going on. Stuff was happening. And, man, I mean, I could visualize this fountain. And I went, and I listened to, I think, David Schleicher, when he was in the spirit and ridiculously drunk and trying to minister. Very conservative guy, by the way, you know, IHOP guys, they're all like dead serious, and then the Spirit came, messed them all up. But anyways, he was preaching down in Atlanta, and he talks about this fountain, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, he had a really revelation, about seeing the fountain, and it almost became visible, and you realize, wow, God wastes water. Because he can, because there's no end. on his love. He pours it out on it. It's not wasted. There's abundance in him. There's an abundance in him. I was sharing with you maybe 2 weeks ago that in Song of Solomon, there's this transition, and you don't have to turn there because I'm just going to refer quickly. Chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. He is abundant, and the Shulamite is talking about how precious the Lord is to her. He's like a bundle of myrrh, is my beloved to me. Like I hold him here between my breasts, like this most intimate place. He's that to me. In chapter 2, he's mine, I am his. Chapter 6, verse 3, I am my beloved's, he is mine. By chapter 7, she says, I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. I belong to him and I realize he loves me, and she's got it now in the right order. Now she's willing to go to the high places with him. Now she's willing to go all the way. His desire is for me. It's the greatest thing in your life to come to a place where you know that Jesus is for you, that he's with you. So scripturally, he is, and we get it, and we come to church, and we learn how to recite that. But experientially, are you there yet? Because you're just not going to have a great testimony till you know this. You're not going to have anything to offer. You can go try to witness to people, but they're like, man, what are you selling, man? I already got that. I don't need any more of that. I don't need church. But to be loved and come as an ambassador of love and to come with answers and come with provision, go, I got something you need. Need a healing? I got a grip on that. Need provision? Need the Lord to work in your life? I have faith. I believe because I have a story about that. I was recently in this thing last year or so, well, forever, you know, this is my thing. I want my truck. I want a nicer truck than what I need. That's where it gets difficult. We always try to justify things. I want a new carpet. I want a new this. I want to know that. And then you have to justify it. Are you tired of justifying what you want? Yep. It's just stinking religion, and it's like, whatever. Now, people that have true abundance from the Lord give. I don't have anything to give until I have abundance. I don't have anything to share till I have more than enough. And that's why we make these declarations, because we want your households to be blessed. I want you to have more than enough. The joy starts when you have more than enough. And do we have to be good stewards and all? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I'm waiting. We almost have the car paid off, you know. It's like, boy, when this happens, I can start looking for my new truck, my truck. We were a year ago down at Aaron Simmons's church, and he starts talking about dreaming, and he finds that if he can tap into a person's dreams, it opens them up spiritually. We're like, oh no, you need to go eat dirt and worms and a couple other things if you want to get spiritual. Let's do that method. How's that working out for you? Just asking. And he found even people that have fallen away from the Lord. It's like, hey, what's your favorite car? You know, you talk guys, you know, guys, women, they have their jewelry, their, I don't know, whatever you'd love, you desire. What do you mean my favorite car? Yeah, what's your dream car? I mean, I want a this and that, you know. I want a 68 Mustang. I want a this. I want a that, you know. I'd love to have one of these. And allowing yourself to dream, and he's talking in one of the sessions, Aaron Simmons was, it's coming in December, by the way, with Nicole. And I'm sitting in this Saturday afternoon meeting going, this is hard. Just like, you're just asking me what I want. And he asked this other missionary type guy, very sincere. He's like, what's your dream for a, you know, whatever? And he gives these answers, and he's like, he's actually, I'm identifying with this guy as Aaron's asking him, what's your dream, you know, for this or that. And he can't even get there. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's me right over there. Like, well, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't ask. I'm like, yeah, like, I'm with him. So I finally allowed myself, you ever allow yourself to just kind of like secretly, well, squeeze out a little. And in the midst of that, I said, I just, between me and Jesus, because it didn't get written down, it was nothing. I just would like a nicer truck than what I need. There, I dreamed it. I thought it. I said it out loud. I mean, it's there, but to say it out loud in front of Jesus and everybody, you know, wow. So it's like, it was out. So as I'm driving back down there this weekend, last weekend, to go to this conference, just me, myself, and Jesus, you know, and Phyllis was off, you know, in Tennessee and doing things, and Cindy Vincent, Cynthia Woods, glad you girls came here back. I realize, oh my gosh, truck that I'm getting is the truck that I dreamed about. And as I've been praying through this, the car got paid off, then there's always other stuff. You're like, oh, this and that, I can't, you know. So it's hope deferred, you know. I'm waiting, and I tell the guys, hey, be watching for a new truck. Then I'm like, but not until like almost the end of the year. Get up. But as I'm working through this in prayer, because this is my thing. Y'all have your thing? You're allowed to have your thing. This is my thing. It had to be just right. As I'm working through, I'm just allowing myself to go for it. I begin to envision. I said, I even considered a new truck, leasing a truck. Yeah, could do that. Yeah. But here was my heart's desire. I went, my truck is sitting in somebody's garage. And some guy has it, and he hardly uses it. And it's got some eight, but it's just like in perfect condition because it's in their garage, and it's probably halfway heated, and they pet it every day and, you know, cover it up at night. I'm like, my truck is sitting in somebody's garage. I could see it. And I think one day, Adam, you know, I'm worried about height because, you know, all the crazy things I do with my truck. And, you know, a couple inches is a lot for, you know, all the things you lift and take and do, whatever. You know. I'm like, the newer trucks are a little bit high for me. I'm like, oh, maybe it's okay, but I just, you know, keep it down a little bit because I'm just a little guy. And Adam says to me one day, he goes, Pastor, you just need a classic. You just need a classic. Like, you know, that's what, you know, just a classic that's in good shape. I'm like, yeah, maybe. And I just kind of stuck with me. And so this truck that's only a few years older than my old worn out truck, it comes into the dealership and Ashley calls me. He's like, Dad, would you be interested in this? It's all these things that, you know, it's a Z71, it's a this, that's a GMC. I'm like, oh my gosh. But it only has this many miles, and it's like really in perfect shape. I'm like, I think I'm interested. Well, I'll bring it home. I don't even have to go. It gets delivered to me. I should put a picture up on the, you know, so she brings it that night and whatever, and it's sitting in my driveway, and why not? I just stand on it, like, and the moment I did that, like, I own this truck. And I walk around to the back, and on the tailgate is painted, it could be cheesy, but it was assigned to me, is the picture of this eagle. And like, it's a well painted by a real artist, an eagle on the tailgate. And to me, that referred to ministry, apostolic, prophetic, it's all, and I'm like, and I look, I went, this is my truck. I didn't even know that till I saw it. I'm like, because the ministry thing is so important. Like, my truck's got to be a work truck. It's got to be all the things. And it's got to flow with the ministry, too. Like, it's all these requirements. It's not easy to find the perfect truck. I went, this truck is for me. It's been for me. For a long time, it's been for me. And so it worked out. It got this awesome price, and then we put all kinds of new stuff on it, and, you know, new tires, and not ordinary. I'm like, I want Michelin tires, you know. Okay, we'll get them. We get this. New brakes, new shocks, new fix the stuff. And I'm even afraid to bring it home because it's still clean down there, so it's still not even here yet, you know. Like, no hurry. Just keep it. Put it in the showroom. I go on my trip, and I'm showing all the guys in the ministry my truck. Ron Wilson, I'm like, look at my truck. I'm getting this truck. Whoa, look at the eagle. And this one young guy, he goes, you know what that is? That's the national bird. Yeah, you know what that means. This is a stretch for me to even say, but I'll be embarrassed later. He goes, it's the national eagle. You're going to have national influence, your ministry. It's a national bird, you know. I took it sitting. I didn't fall over. I just let it. I went, huh. I didn't even need a pacemaker. Like after, I just stayed steady. Keep it steady. Hang on. At that conference, I run into this young worship leader that I know from Wauseon up in northeastern Ohio. We're talking, we're talking guitars, we're talking music, we're talking whatever. And he starts to share with me this new thing that he wants for his guitar. Well, I want this new thing for my guitar, like some new thing. But I'm always looking, we're dreaming, you know, like, and I have no money I should spend on that. So you're like, So you slap yourself, stop thinking about that. But I want this, you know, gadgets and gadgets and stuff. And I can use it for the Lord. See, that's all that, yeah. He tells me about this new thing. It's so unique and different than anything I've ever heard of. He's like, I'm going to get one of these. I want to get one of these. This is what's all. I'm like, wow. You should look this up. You know, look this up. And it's about $300. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. Well, you got to spend some money if you want the toy. You know, you want the stuff. And I'm like, wow, that's cool. I need other things for the worship team. I want to get Rob an amp so we can, when we go out to play, and I want to get Alan an amp and this and that. I want to get this. And then I need seed money for the recording that we want to do here eventually, now that I'm getting the girls off of the church growth program and back onto the worship team. And so, you know, you got to juggle all this stuff, poor pastor, you know. All of a sudden, I get this huge, I should buy him this thing that I'm like. Now, I'm all into that, except I've got to answer to my wife, and I've got all this stuff, you know. I'm like, oh, wow. And then there's this message about, you know, Jake Hamilton has this amazing message, like, you want to go win the world? Go home and fix your home. Go home and fix your marriage. Don't worry about the world. Go fix stuff at home first. Like, go take care of things. Like, yeah. I need to get back home and fix stuff there. I got stuff to fix every place, you know. Go home, fix the stuff, you know. Like, don't be, I should buy things for somebody else here and this and that. All the stuff's going on. But this thing, it just keeps growing. I'm like, this is nuts. This is ridiculous. I go, okay, I pray about it. It's easy for me to do that kind of stuff, but it's, you know, it's getting the forgiveness afterwards that's kind of hard to walk through. So I'm trying to walk this out. And so I really take the big step. After a few days, I get up the courage to just mention to Phyllis what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking this is the end of this, you know, this will be the end. And I'm like, early in the morning in our time, I just share it with her. I'm like, this will stop it. And I'll be able to go on with my life and forget about it. That's pretty much what I thought. Said, I really feel this. It's like, whoa, you know. Well, if that's what you feel you should do, then you better do it. Kept drinking my coffee. Whoa. Oh my gosh. I just got released. I sow this seed of about $300 into this kid. I buy it. I put his address. I send it to him. I give him the, you know, I put all this stuff. I send him the forward of the email, the confirmation that I bought it. He's like, whoa, Dirty Dan, like, whoa, you know, they're young, they have all this lingo. Talk like Kevin. I said, I want to bless you, and I want to bless the community at your church, because they need blessed. And I want to encourage you, and like, you're good soil. And I just didn't say much, just, yep, cool, enjoy, love. And I was sowing a seed for all the other things that I want for our worship team. And I don't feel to just go ask, you know, we have money. I could do that, but I don't feel to do that. I feel I want to, Ray, I want the money to come. And so I very specifically sowed this seed for the things that I desire, the get ready for the recording stuff and the other equipment and another keyboard, just things, you know. I could spend a lot of money real fast. And I walk in here this morning. Somebody told me they have $3,000 to give to the worship team. His desire is for me. There's room for more. Want to walk with me? I've been working with Jonathan. We're in this fabulous house that's been built out of reconditioned barn beams and all this stuff. It's so fun to be there and do this and getting finished up. I'm the closer. They call me in at the end, you know, like so. Working together and doing this and getting to bless the home. It was one of the girls that was from the neighborhood, that's Vicki Johnson, you know, that we, you know, we, she would come to our house, Philistine, when she was a young teenager. And so we knew her. And there's this loft, and then there's this other loft, like you're standing, the place is even higher than this place, and there's cupola. It's so awesome. Jonathan oversaw building this. It's so cool. And it's just beautiful things, you know. And I keep looking at this one that's like that, and I go, I want to bring my guitar and sit up there and just worship in this place, okay? I keep thinking that. I'm like, I'm going to do this. And Jonathan asked me the other day, could you just bring your guitar sometime and let's make a record, you know, we'll make a recording. And I found out that he makes recordings of our worship on his phone, and he listens to it. I'm like, Jonathan, that blesses me. Gosh. I'm like, yeah, we got to do this. They go away on these trips, and so we get to play in the house, you know. Take that off the podcast. No, we do good things. They don't mind. They're believers. They're cool. And I'm like, I need a good digital recorder, something simple, something. That night, I'm at somebody else's house, and they show me this new recorder they just bought, digital recorder for something else. Like, hey, Pastor, if you ever need, I'm like, I no more than thought that, had the need, and it already got answered. God is good. Now, if you knew my world and how I can make things happen and, you know, whatever, you'd understand how big it is for me to wait on the Lord. And to trust my wife, to trust whatever, to just trust. Lord, here's my desire, and then I trust the people around me. It's big. I'm just saying, I really encourage you to trust the Lord. When you start having these stories, I'm telling you, as I went, my silly truck, they're all like, hey, did you get your truck, Jamie, or whoever? They're like, did you get your new truck yet? Nope, it's coming though. And that gives me the juice to say to the people that have needs, like, our little church is so blessed. We're so blessed. When I hear stories of other groups, their struggles. You go, wow, it'd be tough to be in that situation. Crazy things. And when I have those stories, I share them because I'm like, the Lord will supply in your need. in due season, don't faint. Because he sees all these things. And when you start to realize, Daddy loves me. He's got my back. And he wants to teach me and train me, but he's a good father. And he wants to stand there and he wants to see me succeed. He wants to see me be blessed. And he wants to let me partner with him in this ministry of reconciliation because people need restored to the Lord. And this is what people need restored to knowing the Father loves them. They don't need our religious stuff, but they need to know God cares. And it begins with you and I caring. All the ministry stuff we figure out and we do, and it may all be great, but if we miss this point of do you care, then you don't have nothing. You don't have anything. And the world knows that, and they're not impressed. You're just the sweeper salesman. But when you approach them and you care about their need, you care that they need a healing, you care that they're lost, you care about them. You care about what you can break through all kinds of stuff. All kinds of things. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And then to join the Lord, this is the place. Now, this is out of the place where you start just being sensitive. And I believe he wants to speak to all of us about, Jesus, what do you want to do here? And the more we take the risks and step out, hey, you back? You have back pain? Something going on with you? If you took the time in the first place to care about who they were and what they were, find out what they like. Because you tap into that thing with a person of what their dreams are, what their desires are, you're in a genuine way. And if you're faking that, keep it at home. But when you start to just care about people, when they feel that from you, they'll start asking you, hey, where are you from? I love when we go out on the streets with Pam and Kurt. We're not promoting the church, which I love, amazing. I love it that we're not promoting our church. We're promoting Jesus, the kingdom, and they are, where's your church at? We're like, man, it's so far away from here that, yeah, don't even worry about it. Yeah, it's that way. It's cool because everything I was a part of before was always trying to build up the program, and now to just go with the love of God, truly not wanting anything in return, just to hit the marks of touching people's hearts. Yeah, we've tapped into the good stuff. That's the good stuff. Do you understand? This will change the whole world. The more of us that do this, and the thing that's in your hand, the thing you desire, the situations you're in. I'm reading this, the book by Micah Level, that is the young man that came with Aaron Simmons, that's down in Tip City. And I was sharing with the guys earlier. He's as a young man, he's working at a job. Diligent, doing, working hard, good work ethics, but he was frustrated because he wanted to be in the ministry. And he was doing well there, but it's like, I want to be in the ministry. I want to be in full-time in the ministry. And he's praying. He prays and asks the Lord about this, you know. Like, I'm miserable. I'm doing good at my job, but I'm miserable because I want to be in the ministry. And the Lord goes, you can be in the ministry right now. Just love people. Bring my love to people. Doesn't get any better than that. Like, and he has this whole heart change and how he begins, and he begins to, wherever he's at, just to do that, to bring God's love to people. And it transforms his life. Like, totally, he is in the full-time ministry now. But he had to deal with that thing first, and he had to realize this is what it's about. Whether you're on a paid salary from a church or not, this is the ministry, and we're all called to this ministry of reconciliation. If I can tell on you, Jonathan, or just tell this, I'll get forgiveness later. But I get this all the time. It was just one more time that someone said, they look at me, wow, I wouldn't want your job. they're referring to this job. I get that a lot. Oh, I wouldn't want that job. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Like, oh, I wouldn't want your job. And I said to Jonathan, because it was it's a sincere comment, and I said, listen, my job is no different than your job. It's all the same. And if this is what I'm called to, then I have to deal with it the same way you have to deal with your customers and the same way you all have to deal with your employee and your bosses and your whatever. It is no different. It's all the same. We all have to come to this place where if you're in business, you got to take care of your customers and you've got to work it out. And if that's your calling, then you do it. I have this position. I love this position. There are things I have to work out, but it's about me getting better. It's just me getting free that's where the juice is. Because it wouldn't matter if I was in this or in that. Or in that, you still have to work this out. You still have to get free. You still have to love people. You still have to do this well and overcome, because it doesn't matter where or what you are in. It's still the same thing to work out, and it's the thing that you're called to. I couldn't do your stuff, but I could if that's what I was called to. And this is important, because you've got to get off of this thing. That one thing is secular and one thing is spiritual. No, it's all spiritual, because He is spirit and truth, and He created it all. And it's just as important for someone to run a business well, that brings as much peace to the community, or to be in a political position, the mayor or whoever, the sheriff, everybody needs to do their job as unto the Lord, and the kingdom principles in all of those jobs will bring peace to the community. And the scriptures exhort us to pray for peace and pray for these things, because when it's bad for all of us. It's just as important for our leaders in whatever capacity, political or our jobs or our other types of occupations, that whoever's in leadership, that they have good ethics and principles, because when they do that, there's peace and there's prosperity. Everything comes down through the organizations. Whoever's at the head of that spirit that they have comes down through the organization. Now, that's not an excuse to leave your organization. Because if it is corrupt, and most of what we're involved is to some extent, I mean, yeah. Look at the church. Like, my mother, at one point when I'm like, I just want to be a truck driver. Rick, no, not a truck. The truck drivers have bad reputations. Mom, have you checked the ministry lately? I don't know any truck drivers that have about as reputation as what those guys in the ministry have. Jeremiah 9, the Lord says, you want to know something about me? Know this. You want to be a smarty pants about everything? You want to know everything? Know this. That I love loving kindness, I love mercy, I love justice, and I love judgment. And every leader that will embrace those things, what would an organization look like if the leader had true, genuine loving kindness, true kindness? And then secondly, true justice, or doing things right, good ethics in their organization. And number three, that they were able to execute judgment. When there was a problem, they deal with it. How many of you are frustrated in your organization because someone at the top will not deal with problems? That leaves a mess. That doesn't make a good leader, does it? When they tolerate someone not doing their job, keeping up their part, everybody in the organization is frustrated. The frustration starts, doesn't it? I've heard the story. I know what I'm talking about, because I've heard all you tell me your stories. So I can't change that, but I can change this. I want to come and I want to bring this that I, in whatever my areas of responsibility are, that I execute loving, that I function in loving kindness. This is kingdom. This is kingdom principle. That I function in loving kindness, that I have genuine compassion, that I bring justice, like I do things right. I have good ethics. I execute things. I do things well. And that if something needs dealt with in my life or something that's under me, that I can execute a judgment. This isn't, you know, this isn't sentencing people to hell. This is about executing a judgment. If an employer has a worker that's not doing, I believe with all my heart, they need to fire them. If they've been told and they've been whatever and, you know, things have been handled appropriately, there comes this point where we go, we no longer can use you. I think every person needs that freedom because it's sometimes people need a wake-up call. And sometimes if they're not going to go, then they need to be on the outside. That's not mean. At what point do you take care of the people that are doing well? And in this culture, we're living in this entitlement stuff. It's like, oh, my gosh. So we have the answer to that. We have the answers. You need to be full. You need to show up for life. And you don't get to retire. You're engaged. Doesn't matter what age you are. You're a point of influence. And speaking truth at any level brings peace and sets things in order. You never know how much your words, just speaking truth into a situation. Remember Connie Dooley was here from Chicago and her story? She just was pretty much a secretary in this big corporation. And the man that she was under ends up being the CEO of that company and multiple companies. He was kind of a big shot. And at one point in her life, she gets promoted and she questions him about promoting her. Like, you're making me nervous because my peers are going to, you know, they're going to talk about me because I just got something they didn't get. Pulls out a notebook of all the words of wisdom she had for him through the years. She had no idea he was keeping these things. She would just speak wisdom into this man's life about decisions that he was making his business. He didn't say much. He just started writing them down. He kept them all. You don't know what influence you are when you function out of the kingdom and out of the spirit. And it begins by you knowing that the Lord is with you, his favor is on you. It begins by, you've got to experience this. So you don't have nothing to, you don't have nothing to export till you've got something in here. Don't be giving away stuff you don't have. You've got to have victories here. Then you'll have something there. You've got to know this stuff for yourself. You've got to know the Lord provides. You've got to know the Lord heals. Then you can tell some, hey, I don't know about you, but wow, I prayed about the same kind of thing. I got like this incredible answer. Wow. My life's blessed. I'm peaceful. It doesn't have to look like anybody else's. It doesn't have to have the same amount of zeros after my salary for me to be happy or peaceful and be totally content with who and what and where I am. It's not about that. It's about knowing that God is with me and that I'm all that my Father wants me to be and that his desire is for me and he loves me. And I get to participate with him. I get to work with Dad in this ministry of reconciliation, reconnecting people to the Father, reconnecting people to the Father. Once they're reconnected, then he'll do the changing and change their lives. He'll change them. He'll restore them. He'll restore them. You are his inheritance, Ephesians tells us. You are the Lord's inheritance. You are the Lord's inheritance. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you will visit every person right in the thing that is on their heart today. In this atmosphere, just want to allow ourselves to dream. What's your dream? What would you like to see? Don't try to shut that out today. I'm encouraging you. What are you dreaming about? What's just a simple desire of your heart? You don't have to justify it. Doesn't have to be spiritual. Just what's the desire? I just encourage you to whisper that. Like, just make it a, just confess it in your heart. Lord, here's actually today. Here's what I'd love to see. This is what I want. Just allow yourself to dream. Oh, it's hard for me to allow myself to dream and just to pray. And now I've clicked into something where I'm getting answers before I even have a chance to say much about it. Like, so Jesus, I ask that you come to every person, because this is the point of you becoming bigger in their life and their testimony increasing and them becoming fully alive instead of being dead. Would us cast off the self-sacrificing that is religious. You may ask us to give things, and it may be hard, but it's still different, so different. When you're asking, we know this is what you require of us. That stuff, that's easy and that's good. Father, I ask that you will grant these things, and I just ask you to demonstrate yourself to every person as they just allow themselves. Things we've even given up on. Just with this open heart, our spiritual eyes just lifted upward. Father, this is what I'd like for Christmas. He's asking you, so tell him. What would you like this year for your birthday? It's that kind of question. What would you like this year for Christmas? How would you like this year to end up and wrap up? Father, for every person that needs a story, I ask that you grant it in Jesus' name. Maybe you're just waiting for us to ask, to be specific, so that when the answer comes, we don't miss it. This needs to truly be between you and us, and it needs to be that we understand that what comes, comes because we asked. Maybe we sow a seed. Just it's not about a formula. It's about what are you saying, what do you require, and how are you leading us, and what would make our hearts come alive, and what is so scary? Makes us a little bit nervous. Father, 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 in Jesus' name. Oh, how you delight to encounter us and meet us. And we will not be able to keep a good story quiet, so you won't have to tell us to tell anybody. And let these stories and let this testimony be seen so that others ask us, how did you and what happened here? How did this happen for you? Father, I ask that you will just earmark these gifts, put signs on them, so that we know it's from you. This is the one that you had for us. This is the situation you had for us. This is the promotion you had. This is the gift that you had. This is the person that you had for me. While there's a whole nother area, we all desire, there are certain needs in our lives that it's a person to step into that position. Father, I ask that you will supply people, you will supply the persons to make us complete, the people that you desire to fulfill. I believe there are people that you're calling here, and they're having trouble getting here. And in Jesus' name, we just call them in. We'll ask you to send them so that we're clear when they come in, you will know you sent them. So that we can be more of what you've called us to be. So that we can do this better. So we can be more complete. Because I cannot do what belongs to somebody else. Thank you, Father. Thank you for meeting all of our needs. I want that to be our testimony. I waited on the Lord. He heard my cry, inclined his ear to me. He set my feet on a solid path, on a good path. And he got me moving. He established my going. He gave me momentum. He gave me direction. I love it when I'm pressed by a force and driven from within, from a song and from a wind that I feel blowing inside of me. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.